Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Peter. Now, wouldn't it be cool to be able to download lots of reading material to your reading device without the use of a computer? Books from NLS, books from Bookshare, the NFB Newsline service, listen to podcasts, radio. Well, now it's possible with the new firmware that's on the Victor Reader Stream.
We'll speak with Matthew Janisauskas, product manager at Humanware for the Victor Reader family of accessible media players, about some of these new and exciting features that are enabled by the built-in Wi-Fi capability. And towards the end of the program, we'll talk about the Victor Reader Stratus desktop version. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Matthew Janisauskas.
I think the tip I would give for Stream 4.4 would be to take advantage of those lists, both for online podcasts and for internet radio. There's a Humanware suggested list on both of those bookshelves, and it's a way of you might find something interesting that you didn't know about before. And in the case of online podcasts, that's definitely where you'll find Eyes on Success.
And of course, the Victor Reader Stream is doing everything it can to make that easy.
Yes, that's definitely what we always try to keep first and foremost, because we want the user to be able to enjoy the content that they have the device for, not to have to focus too much on how to operate the device.
And that's one of the great things about the list they have built into this device. You know, sometimes it's difficult, or you can be overwhelmed by the number of choices and the variety of podcasts, internet, radio, etc. But if they have some things that might be of particular interest to you right there on the device, that makes it really easy. So check it out.
Let's start by meeting Matthew and learning a bit about the Victor Reader line of products.
So we talked with you once before, Matt, about Victor Reader products when you had recently come out with some new hardware for the Victor Reader products. And today we wanted to talk about some of the new software upgrades you've made, but perhaps you can start by introducing yourself to our listeners, just to remind them who you are.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Pete. I'm Matthew Janisauskas, and I'm the product manager for the Victor Reader line of products at Humanware, which we used to always refer to them. We're in a transition phase. They had previously been always referred to as digital talking book products. And that's not only is it a mouthful, but people that are newer to vision loss or needing alternative access to reading books, how do they know what that even means? So we're in the transition of making that a little more user-friendly to understand. Because what the products really are, I mean, yes, it's a digital talking book player, but what it really means to me as a user is it's an accessible media player, because it's books and listening to music and so on. And then it's also an ebook reader. So there's audio books, but there's also text-based ones that are read with text-to-speech. And it's hard to find anyone these days that doesn't know what an e-reader is, a Kindle or something. And that's really what these products are. So we're trying to move the focus more on the outcome rather than a technical description.
And you do make a range of these products, from desktop devices to handheld portable devices, and a range of user usability, from very easy things to use to things that are more sophisticated, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I think, as I recall, we covered a lot of that in detail when we talked on the previous program. As you said, there's different form factors. There's portable players, desktop. There's different interfaces. There's ones that are very, very basic for an elderly user, for example, just with arrow keys. And then there's something more like what we'll talk mostly today about, the Stream, which is the most portable product. It has more of a numeric keypad type of interface. So yeah, there's a very wide variety depending on the user's needs.
And just to remind our listeners, as one of the product managers, you are visually impaired yourself, so you actually use these products, right?
That's correct, and that's something that I think is unique to Humanware. The entire product management team is either completely blind or visually impaired and are all users of the products that we manage, and I would volunteer that that makes a tremendous difference in the final outcome of the product.
I think that does make a huge difference. I mean, it even makes a difference for general software used by sighted people. If the developers have to use the software they develop, they usually make it more user-friendly.
Indeed.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Success. This week's focus topic is the latest firmware update to the Victor Reader Stream and the features that this enables. Can you start by just giving an overview of the Victor Reader Stream device?
The Stream is the most portable product in the Victor Reader line. So it's the equivalent of like a smartphone form factor, very, very small and compact. And the interface is something very familiar to most of us. It's a numeric keypad, like on a telephone. So there's a few dedicated buttons for special functions like the sleep timer or the Wi-Fi, which applies to mostly what we're about to talk about next.
So what are some of the specific new features introduced by the new firmware to this device?
So this year we released an update in February, which would have been since we last spoke, I believe. And the key features added there were internet radio, taking advantage of the Wi-Fi. And we partnered with OTunes, I believe is the correct pronunciation. And a lot of your listeners are probably familiar with them because they have a very good and accessible app for iOS, for example. It's over 30,000 radio stations they claim in their database, and it's aggressively updated and maintained. So we're leveraging that as our directory source for the internet radio on the Stream. And then in that release, we also added the ability to look up a word as you're reading in Wikipedia, like you would on a tablet or so on. So that was in February. And then we've been working diligently since on more compelling Wi-Fi features, because that's the key differentiator from the Stream of 2007 versus the one last year, is the addition of Wi-Fi and all the things that that can include. So version 4.4 that was just recently released, the additions there, I'll talk about two key features. There's a number of usability enhancements and so on that people can certainly read about on the website. But I think what the listeners would be the most interested in are the two main features, one being extremely relevant for this discussion. Support for online podcasts has been added. So there's a new bookshelf in the interface that's podcasts, and the user can go without any PC needed. They can search for the Eyes on Success by name. They can browse by categories to find something new. And then we also add what we call the Humanware suggested podcast list, which is just a way that if someone's completely new, for example, a short list of podcasts of mainstream interest, the news sources, and then some things related to blindness or vision loss. And I haven't discussed this with you guys previously, but you might have already discovered or had a user to let you know that Eyes on Success is in that list.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's our pleasure. So that's podcasting. So it's taking something that I think you might agree can be seen by some less tech-savvy people, let's say, it is something slightly technical and maybe a bit intimidating of what are these RSS feeds and what does it all mean, and I have to subscribe and what do I do, and if it involves software on the PC. It can be a lot to get your head around just to listen to an interesting program every day or every week. So what we've done is we've taken all that out of the equation, and as with every new feature that we add on the Victor Reader products, one of our key design principles is when we add this, someone that's already using the Stream, if we do our jobs right, they should already basically know how to use this new feature, having never touched it before. So in the same way that users are familiar with searching from other sources, downloading a book, share a book, or something like that, we've added things like internet radio and podcasts in the exact same way so that you already know how to use it.
Well, it sounds like you've made that very simple and very turnkey. I mean, I'm used to many podcatching programs on the PC and some other devices where you have to find out what the subscription URL is and type that in, make sure you have that correct. But if you can just search for it by name or through a bunch of categories, that's a lot easier.
That was the idea. And then duplicating the way things are done in the interface so that you don't have to learn something new every time we add new functionality.
And for those that aren't familiar with podcasts, what's really great about podcasts is it gives you the ability to time shift your listening for particular shows. You don't have to listen to it exactly when it's aired. Your device downloads it, and then you can listen to it when it's convenient.
Exactly.
So you talked about some of these features that were enabled by Wi-Fi, such as the radio and the podcasting, and I think you had some other features you wanted to talk about also.
I do, Pete. I mentioned the two that I wanted to highlight here. I started with podcasts because that's of interest, hopefully, to everyone, regardless of their location. The second one is more specific to the U.S. this is probably by far the most long-awaited and anticipated feature on the stream that the Wi-Fi makes available. But we needed to wait until we received access from the provider to be able to do it. So we were very happy to learn back in June, I believe it was, we received notice from NLS that they were opening access to what's called their API, which is a technical way of outside partners communicating with their service. Your listeners might be aware that NLS released a smartphone application. I believe it was in the late summer, early fall of last year. So since then, that really put the pressure on the manufacturers like Humanware, shall I say, and the, listening to interest from customers of, oh, this is great. I can finally download my books instead of receiving them on a cartridge, but I don't have a smartphone, or I'm really not interested in using a touchscreen interface and the complexities that go with that. I want to use something familiar like my stream. That's all to say that we're absolutely delighted to be able to bring complete wireless access to NLS Bard on the stream. And then similarly to podcasting, we've been able to do something pretty significant for a large number of users, which is take the PC out of the equation. Previously, what was necessary, the streams worked with NLS since 2007 when the first streams came out. But at that time, what was required is you first had to authorize the device to even play the content since it's protected. There was an email exchange and website transactions, and you had serial numbers, and you had to receive a key file to put onto your SD card. And if you're not already tired just by hearing the description, just imagine if you're a less technical person trying to do all this. And that was before you even had a book. And then you had to go and download the book, and you had to unzip it and put it on your card. Everything I've just said in the last couple minutes is no more. With Stream 4.4, you still have to apply for access from NLS, of course. But once you're approved or an NLS member, you give them your stream serial number. And within 24 hours, as soon as they approve you for a key, your stream's always checking in the background if it's connected to Wi-Fi, and it sees that there's a key available for your player, and it just downloads and installs it for you. It's a completely automated process now. And the same thing with the books. Just like we talked about with podcasts, I can search for an NLS Bard book by name. I can browse. I think they have over 100 different categories that we have access to. I can type in a search. I can browse the most recently added books list, the most popular books, and do all of the above right on the stream. I find the book I want, and I simply press the confirm key, and that book is downloaded in the background also, which I don't believe is the case on their smartphone application. I think once you start a download, you have to wait. And these books are quite large because they're audio. Whereas on the stream, you're actually queuing as many books as you'd like. So you can start a download and continue searching for a few more. Perhaps it's a series that you're looking at. And they'll just quietly download in the background, be unzipped, and automatically added to your bookshelf without any more action required on the user's part other than pressing play and relaxing.
You said that there really aren't very many buttons on the Victor Reader stream, and if you're searching for a particular title, how would you enter a title onto your Victor Reader stream to search for it?
That's a great question, Nancy. So there's something that we call multi-tap text entry. You might recall in the day to send a text message back when you still had a telephone keypad, there's letters superimposed on the numbers. So the letters A, B, and C are on the number 2, for example. So it's a very similar method to doing so. So if I wanted to write the word cat to get the C, I would press the number 2 3 times.
And then is the Victor Reader stream smart enough to try to autocomplete? Or do you actually have to get every single character correct?
You have to get every character correct. We're not doing autocomplete like on a smartphone, but that's not to say that you need to write the entire thing. It's very rare that you would need to be typing out the entire title of a book to find it.
That's very convenient to be able to download the books directly on your device without using a computer and doing a big search. I find that very useful. You talked about the NLS app for the iPhone, and that has the same capability. You can just download your books directly, read them on the iPhone. And, you know, that's very nice, except that it's really great to have buttons, real buttons that you can actually feel and touch. You know, even though it's possible to use the touch screen, it's more handy and more comforting to use buttons.
Well, that's just it, especially when one is reading before bed or something and going off to sleep. I don't know about you, Pete, but I can reach over and easily feel a nice tactile sleep key or off button, whereas I'm probably not to be trusted to remember which app I have open and what's the gesture to make it stop.
Exactly.
And actually, the buttons on the Victor Reader Stream aren't all shaped the same. You've purposely given them different shapes so they're easier to distinguish.
Yes, and even for a low vision person, they're very high contrast. For example, moving across that bookshelf that I mentioned before, that's done with a left and a right arrow. Well, those would be superimposed on the 4 and the 6 keys, and those keys are in a very high contrasting different color. The fast forward and rewind keys are prominently triangular. You can feel them pointing left and right. So yeah, we've tried to take all that into account. You get a nice tactile click when you press the button. No such thing on the touch screens.
Now, since the Stream can also read ebooks and text type books, is this capability also available with Bookshare books?
Yes, it works exactly the same as I described for NLS, a couple of exceptions. But anytime there's a parallel, for example, Bookshare also has available those lists of the books they've most recently added to their online library, or the most popular ones that are being downloaded. Those are very similar for both sources. The main difference is the books that you're getting from Bookshare, as you said, Pete, are going to be text-based and would be read with the text-to-speech on board, and the NLS's content for the most part is going to be human narrated audio, with the exception that there's another part of the NLS Bard collection that used to be called Web Braille, and those are actually electronic Braille files that are there, so you do have access to those even on the Victor Reader Stream. Download them in the same way, and you're told at the beginning if it's a Braille or an audiobook, but if it's a Braille book, since it is electronic text, those books would be read to you by the text-to-speech also.
And what voices do you use?
We use a cappella speech, and the Stream, whichever version of the software you have installed, there's always two different text-to-speech voices on the player at a time, and you can always easily switch between those. So for the English, for example, we always try to have a male and a female voice to accommodate people's different hearing characteristics.
And then if a particular individual wants to read a book in a different language, is that easy to switch to a voice in the other language?
Normally, an example I would have would be, since Humanware is a Canadian company and we're in French Canada and Quebec, the software that I might install there, it would have the U.S. English Heather female voice, and then it would have, I think her name is Louise, is the French Canadian voice. And then so if I had an electronic textbook that was written in French, I would just want to press the single key to switch to the French TTS so that it's read correctly.
Oh, that's great. So you can install the multiple languages on the one device without having to reinstall or uninstall.
Yes.
So in summary, I mean, it sounds like you have one device that will enable people to listen to audio, radio, podcasts, audio books, textbooks, and all kinds of material.
That's really the idea.
What do you claim is the battery life of the Stream?
That's something that we're quite proud of. We maintain from the original Stream, the battery life is around 15 hours. I mean, it's always a subjective thing. There's a few things that can impact it, some more obvious than others. How loud are you playing your books if you're using the built-in speaker? And then some less obvious ones, like I think it's safe to assume that a lot of your listeners would be people that tend to increase the speed quite a bit if they're listening to text-to-speech.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, indeed. And that's a processor intensive operation because, you know, the way that we handle speed in the Stream, it's not just a flat algorithm. We're compressing the speech so that it's faster, but that so that it doesn't sound higher pitched like a chipmunk. And that requires some processing that's going on in the background while you're reading. So it might be less obvious, but if you tend to do those types of things, you could see a little less, not substantially, but noticeably less than the 15 hours. But for the most part, I think you would agree that's substantially better than you're going to have on a smartphone.
And how do people get this new firmware update? Does that happen automatically or must they take some action?
As long as they've connected their Stream to Wi-Fi, there's nothing that they need to do. Every time they turn on their Stream and access one of those online bookshelves that we've talked about, the Stream's doing like some other products. It's always checking quietly in the background with the server at Humanware. And if there's a newer version available, the product notifies you and asks you, would you like to download and install it? So it can all be done completely Wi-Fi.
Are you at liberty to discuss what Humanware is thinking about in the next release?
It's probably safe to assume that we'll continue to put our focus in, as we've been doing since we released the product, as we receive access to new sources of information, audio books and content. And we didn't talk on this program, but we've had access since the previous two updates to NFB Newsline in the US. So access to automatically download today's newspaper in the morning when I turn on my stream. So any sources of interesting and useful content like that, I think, is where you would expect to see our updates focus in the future.
Yeah, well, it's great to see that, I guess, you know, people have finally come together on these downloadable DAISY formats and stuff, and that has to really open up what these devices can do automatically like that.
It does, and the two words in what you said, Pete, are very important to be separated. The convenience of downloading, for sure, which we all grasp, but the idea that what you're downloading is in DAISY format is maybe a little less obvious to some, and the benefits that that brings, being able to navigate through the book with the same granularity that a sighted person could with print, everything from the chapter and page level down to by word and by character, and even to spell a word. I think that's the true value that the DAISY format delivers.
Yeah.
Now for this week's final item, the Victor Reader Stratus. Humanware also makes a desktop book reader called the Victor Reader Stratus. Can you tell us a bit about that and how it compares to the Victor Reader Stream?
The Victor Reader Stratus is not heavily marketed or overly popular in the U.S. for a number of reasons. And the most important one is that people that are eligible for service from NLS, the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, a desktop form factor player is available just for the asking. So it's difficult to sell a product to someone when they can essentially get the equivalent for free from the government. So the Stratus is a lot more important in Europe, for sure, with different libraries for the blind around the world. And what I want to mention right now briefly is in Canada also, where the CNIB is their equivalent organization, shall we say, to NLS. And they have a download service available there. So users of the Victor Reader Stratus, now following an update that we released in July, are now able to take advantage of that service on their desktop player, so they can connect to Wi-Fi in the home. And it's a completely, shall we say, hands-off system, whereas NLS, for example, you can go onto a website and be very interactive and choose your books and download them and so on. Whereas CNIB's implementation is a completely hands-off approach, so your grandmother can have her Victor Reader Stratus sitting there on the table. She already has a profile with the CNIB, and they know the types of books she likes to read and so on, and they populate those on her virtual bookshelf online. So every time she turns on her player, and then periodically whenever it's connected to Wi-Fi, it goes silently in the background to CNIB, and it downloads those books and just adds as many as will fit into the memory of the player. And then as she reads those books, previously she would press an eject button when she was receiving them on CD and would send it back in the post. Now she presses that eject button, and instead of a CD coming out, she's asked, would you like to return this book to CNIB? She confirms, and it's replaced with another one from her bookshelf. So she has to know nothing technical whatsoever. And as one of my colleagues refers to it, there's just the magician inside the machine that makes things appear for her when she wants them.
Magicians are a good thing.
Yes.
And that's really a nice feature, particularly for elderly people or those that are less technically savvy, because all of the other solutions involve interacting with a computer, downloading something on your computer and browsing, and then transferring that to your reading device. And that can be a bit daunting for some people.
That's just it. And there's use cases and reasons of why you would want to do that. And CNIB does allow you to do things like NLS. For a more tech-savvy user, shall we say, you can go onto their website and you can choose a book on demand and say, add this to my bookshelf, and do the same thing that the librarian would do when your grandmother calls them on the phone. But we believe that that type of user would probably be a lot more interested in using the service on a product like the Stream instead, to have that ultra-portable device. And that's what we're working on now. The next update for Canadian listeners will be bringing the functionality I described, with the addition of being able to be more interactive and do on-demand downloading. That's what we're in the process of adding to the Stream, so that should be available. Stay tuned.
So we thought all of this information about the Victor Reader Stratus and the Victor Reader Stream was really interesting. But it does assume that you knew the basics about both of those products. And we did not repeat the information that we gave in a prior episode featuring Matthew Janusowskis, and that was number 1332, where he talked in general about the Victor Reader Stratus and Victor Reader Stream from Humanware as they were about a little over a year ago. And also, Humanware has a low vision division, and we did show 1338 on their Prodigy digital magnifier system. So if you're interested in that, look up that show.
Maybe you can remind people where they can find out more information about this and some of the products that you've talked about today.
Absolutely. So the Humanware website is probably the best starting place to learn about both the Victor Reader products that we've talked about, and Humanware has quite a wide variety of products for accessible GPS, Braille products, note-taking devices, and then an entire line of low-vision products, magnification. So all of the above are at the Humanware website, and that's www.humanware.com. You can also call us in U.S. and Canada. There's an 800 number. It's 800-722-3393.
And is there an email contact?
There is. I'll give you two. So there's if it's a product inquiry, questions about a product or so on, the best place to send that would be info@humanware.com. And if we talked earlier in the program about customers that would like to have a way to give us share their suggestions with us or to report an issue that they might encounter, the best place to do that is to send the email to support@humanware.com.
Now, we've been talking about all sorts of powerful features in the Victor Reader products, but as you can imagine, not everybody wants to use every single one of them, such as playing music or listening to podcasts.
And my wife is completely the opposite, knowing that I spend all of my days entrenched in this technology to make a living. She's a counselor. And the honest truth, your show is one of the only podcasts that I can get her to listen to.
Oh, well, that's good.
Because she always finds it interesting.
So there was a lot of contact information there. And if you'd like to find out more about some of those products, you can find information for all those resources and contacts in our show notes at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. So check them out and let them know you heard about it right here on Eyes on Success, and you want to find out more.
That's it for show number 1441. The next 2 weeks on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with people who were the partner of somebody who lost their vision well into their relationship. Next week, we'll speak with Chris Roberts, wife of Dan Roberts, who you met in show 1435. And the following week with David Fisichella, husband of Amy Bauer, who you met in show 1437, about their experiences. In each case, the partner went down the path of the vision loss with the person who was affected, and we are very grateful to them for sharing their experiences, and we think you'll find it very interesting and hopefully helpful to you. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboo.fm at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.